Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's Misty, and this is Lattes and Legends. Hi, good morning. I'm back. Hi, it's been a little while. Yeah, so I took some time off and I'm back and feeling good, feeling great, all the things. So I guess this is the season 8 do-over, so welcome. I'm just going to take a sip of my coffee. Ooh, that was refreshing. And we're just going to dive into some things today. This is Lattes and Legends. If you didn't catch that, I took about almost a year off, which is interesting because I remember when I did the last episode, I was like, oh, next week I'll do this and then I'll do this and then I'll do this. Guess what? Next week almost lasted a year. So let's not do that again. Let's just jump back in and talk about all the things spooky and creepy and all those things that we love so much, and that's why you're here. So thank you. Thanks for coming back. Life has been a whirlwind. But you know what? Things are great. Things are great. Spring in Colorado is happening. So it's a nice, brisk 30-something outside and expected snow. Wouldn't be spring in Colorado without expected snow. So I decided to record and I decided to come back to what season 8 was supposed to be about, which is the most haunted houses in the land. And by land, I mean in the world. So buckle up and let's begin. Man, how's your coffee this morning? Mine is fabulous. Tell me what you're drinking. Do you have a latte? I wish I had a latte. But I have a nice organic dark roast. It's delicious, I must say. And I think I put too much agave in it. And that is all right. It's just super sweet. So if I'm bouncing off the walls by the end of this, that's why. So today we're going to talk about two different settings. One is in California and one is in Arizona. And the first one is the Moss Beach Distillery. And the second one is called the Rawson House. And you can find the sources in the show notes. And yes, they will be there. And we're just going to dive right in to the Moss Beach Distillery. The reason I chose the Moss Beach Distillery is because it was a speakeasy during Prohibition and something in me just loves that time period. I want to go back there and visit a speakeasy and see silent film stars. I know it was probably not the best time for some people, but in my mind, it's just like flappers and fun and gangsters. And again, not fun for a lot of people, but I have a Hollywood view of it. So that's where I'm going with and what I'm sticking with. So let's start about the Moss Beach Distillery. So it was built in 1927 by a man named Frank Torres, and he called it Frank's Place, and it did serve as a speakeasy. It was incredibly popular with silent film stars and politicians in San Francisco. Oh. So it was never raided, and that made a lot of people think that because the politicians were there, that's why it was never raided during Prohibition, because, you know, they had a little something going on there. So the Prohibition Act was eventually repealed in 1933, and Frank's Place was incredibly successful. And then it turned into the Moss Beach Distillery, which is now a restaurant that is located off the Pacific Coast Highway in Moss Beach, California, which is about 7 miles north of Half Moon Bay and 25 miles south of San Francisco. By looking at the restaurant, the pictures are just beautiful. It's located on a cliff that's right above a very private, secluded beach. Oh, I don't know if it's private. It's secluded. Basically, it served as the perfect location during Prohibition. There were Canadian rum runners that would bring booze in and out. And it was perfect for this. And just looking at the pictures today, it just seems like beautiful place to visit and dine and all the things. So enough about what it looks like. Let's talk about if this restaurant is haunted. That's what you want to hear, right? No one wants to hear history. Everybody wants to hear if there's ghosts. So let's talk about it. And we also have We meaning the interweb, also has plenty of horror stories and ghost stories from people that have worked here and dined here about the paranormal situations and incidents that they have been part of. So the big story, if you were to Google the Moss Beach Distillery, is the story of the Blue Lady. And this story has gotten the attention of psychics and paranormal investigators, all of those people on TV, you know the deal. And so they believe that this woman haunts the restaurant to this day. And so over the years, some restaurant employees and customers have just seen bizarre things happening in the restaurant, and they've seen moving objects and just this overwhelming sensation that someone is watching them and someone is invisible, just lingering there. And they feel like this could be the Blue Lady. So from about the 1930s to the 1960s, people have said that they've seen the Blue Lady, and she will play pranks on those who work there and dine there. One of the psychics that has come to visit the distillery is named Annette Martin. And she says that she's actually talked to the Blue Lady, and her name is Elizabeth Claire Donovan. And she prefers to be called Kate. Kate being spelled C-A-T-Y-E. That's cute. So Kate was a really common name in the 30s for nicknames, and people say that this could be a load of different people, but the psychic, she states that this is the person she's talked to, Elizabeth Claire Donovan. So there's quite a few theories about who Kate is. However, one of them is about a woman that was married in the 1930s, and she was from San Francisco. She had left her husband, who apparently was abusive, and she decided to go to Frank's place. She met a man who was playing piano, and he was so handsome. This is a Hallmark movie, I feel. Anyway, and she went there frequently to see him. She was just so enamored with him that she was like, this is the one. So one night, her husband decided to follow her to Frank's place, and he found her and the man, her lover. So Kate's husband and Kate's lover had a fight on the beach right below Frank's place. And of course, the story is a little hazy because there aren't any records of what actually went down. That's fine. But the next morning, it seems as if this beautiful woman, allegedly Kate, was wearing a blue dress, and she was stabbed to death on the beach. Murdered by her husband, maybe? Also, according to the legend, the piano-playing lover was injured in this fight, but he was playing the piano the very next evening. The story goes that the husband was never found. However, Kate, in her blue dress, seems to search for her lover at Moss Beach Distillery nightly. So who sees Kate? There's been a few tales of seeing Kate or the Blue Lady in the main dining room. Some people that have come for lunch will eat lunch and just leave abruptly because they don't have a good feeling while they're sitting there dining. Some say that Kate hangs out on the lower levels and not the main dining room. And some people that have worked there say that the shenanigans don't really happen during the day. It's very small things that happen during the day. But at night, by the restrooms, there's a woman coming out of the ladies' room, and she shows herself in the mirror sometimes, and it just seems a little bit uneasy during the nighttime when people go in to have dinner around the restrooms. So one ghost story that popped up online was basically from a woman that worked. I don't know if she still works there. It didn't go that deep. A woman that works at the distillery, and how she was closing up one night. So let's talk about that. In this story, it was around the holidays. I'm assuming Christmas holidays, December holidays, what have you. And everybody at the restaurant really wanted to get out and go home and do some holiday cheer things with their friends and family. So the girl that was closing that night was like, you know what? Let's get all the side work done. Let's close it up. Let's get done as soon as we can. So she went down to the storage room to start her closing work. And the storage room is where the speakeasy used to be, and the rum runners would go down there and sell illegal alcohol. So when she opened the door and turned on the light, she started to restock the wine that's down there, but she felt something really scary. She felt afraid. She felt that someone was creeping up on her over her back, and her arms and head started to tingle. And this is what she said. Quote, "It felt like someone was in this tiny room with me. I was still for a moment wondering why I felt so uncomfortable, when all of a sudden I felt a stroke on the back of my head and my neck. It felt as if someone was stroking my head and neck, telling me that everything was okay. So I decided to scream, stop." End quote. She said that she knew exactly who she was talking to. Oof. Apparently this was the blue lady. That's right. She said she had worked there for 4 years and she had never felt her. She said, quote, "The blue lady had left me alone up until then, probably because she was respecting the fact that I'm pretty scared of ghosts in the afterlife in general. It was as if the blue lady was trying to comfort me because I was so scared to be down there by myself. Nevertheless, it scared me even more. She's always been respectful as far as backing down and letting me be for a long stretch of time after that." Ooh. So, this woman ended up having more experiences, and she said it would always go down late at night when she was closing. One night she even was tapped on the shoulder, and as if like the blue lady was telling her just to kind of move over a little bit. And she thought at first it was another employee just telling her, "Oh, I need to get by." But she turned around and no one was there. She said it was a very weird feeling. And she knows now that it wasn't malicious, but it was just really unnerving for her. Another woman who worked at the distillery for 9 years was the bookkeeper, and her name is Susan Broderick, and she opened up on a website online. The link is in the show notes. And she remembers working late a lot in the office downstairs, and one night she was doing some accounting. She was working on just her computer, and she heard the printer turn on and just start printing, even though she didn't do anything. She said, quote, "I did not click on any print commands, and there was no reason for the printer at my desk to turn on and print anything. It was a very spooky moment for me. I had no idea what was going on. It surprised me so much that I cut out a little piece of paper and made it a heart and taped it to my computer monitor. I left it for years for protection, and I often wonder if the blue lady was keeping me company when I would be there late at night." Ooh, okay, creepy. Another woman, Debbie Goldfarb, was the restaurant's floor manager, and her story was, quote, "I was sitting at the hostess stand and seriously recounting ghost stories with another manager. We were not just talking about that restaurant, but we had talked about other hauntings we had experienced. As we spoke, a clipboard, which hangs from a nail not more than 3 feet from where we were sitting, began to swing back and forth, clanking the Mardi Gras beads that were hanging behind it. There had not been an earthquake or anything like that. Absolutely nothing perceptible had happened to make that clipboard move." End quote. Okay, cool. So apparently the spiritual paranormal levels in this restaurant are very, very high. And for those that believe in ghosts that work here, feel that the blue lady is harmless and that she's just still looking for her lover, while others feel that they might be in her way of finding her lover. And these are the staff members that work there that are not into the paranormal realm and ghosts and what have you. So, you know, it seems like she's there. She's hanging out.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
For her lover, for those that see her and get to meet her. And so maybe if you are in that area, you can go have lunch at the distillery and see just what you feel. Now we're going to move on to the Rawson house. And I chose this one, I think maybe because it's somewhere I would like to visit. Arizona isn't that far from me, and so it's a goal of mine to spend more time there in the future. And why not go to the Rawson House, which is one of the oldest surviving houses in Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, already, I'm reeled in and hooked. Show me the way. I don't care if there's ghosts or not. I love an old historic home, right? They're great. So the house was built in 1895 by the Rawson family, which were very influential family for their time. All right, so there have been multiple owners and renters in the house, and it was eventually bought by the city of Phoenix in 1974, and the house was turned into a museum, and it's now in a part of town called Heritage Square. And it's a living memory of the city's Victorian past. Ooh, I love that. So there's lots of legends and tales about the house and how it is haunted. One of the legends is that the house has only been haunted since the 1980s. And that is when the caretaker of the museum was shot dead on the grounds. So the visitors who have been here have seen just shadows and phantom sightings, and doors have locked and unlocked on their own. Right. It's also very common for people to feel like just phantom heat or coldness on their bodies. The heat they feel comes from the unused fireplaces in the home. Oh, that's creepy. And the cold, well, if you've ever felt a ghost, you have felt that cold, ghostly feeling, right? I have a side story for that, but I think maybe I'll tell you that at the end of the podcast. Because something really bizarre happened to me in December. I definitely need to tell you that story, and that's definitely after this tale. So I'll give you a little bit of history on the Rawson House. So Dr. Ronald Rawson had moved to the Arizona Territory in 1875, and he was an assistant surgeon with the Army. He left the Army in 1879. He married his wife, Flora Murray. Ooh, Flora. Love that name. The two of them had seven children. Two of them died as infants. And in 1882, they purchased Block 14 of the original town site in Phoenix. And that would soon become, yes, the site of the Rawson House. Before the building of the house, they lived in a smaller adobe house on that property as well. So it was completed in 1895. It was a very Victorian style mansion and probably one of the most luxurious homes in Phoenix at that time. It had electric lights, hot and cold running water, an indoor upstairs bathroom. Oh, can you imagine? Wow. A telephone and all of the luxuries that a lot of people in 1895 did not have. So what's interesting in this house had like a speaking tube. Basically, it allowed all of the people and that lived in the house to talk to each other. If they were on the third floor, they could speak to, you know, her husband on the first floor. Super fancy for the times. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Dr. Rawson had quite the career after he retired from the Army. He went into politics, ran for mayor. He was elected the county coroner and public administrator. He was the county treasurer. I mean, he did it all. He even got nominated for sheriff. Wow, this guy, he did a lot, for sure. So he resigned in 1896 from his political career because of some conflicts with other council members. But he took on some other roles in the Phoenix political scene for then. Excuse me. So between 1895 and 1897, the Rawsons decided to rent their home to a man named Whitelaw Reed. That's correct. His name was Whitelaw. So Reed was an editor of the New York Tribune, and he also was the U.S. ambassador to France and Britain. Wow. He was chosen as a vice presidential candidate for the Republican Party in 1892. Wow. So the reason he went to Phoenix is because he had a lung condition and he traveled to Phoenix. Oh, that's right. For open air treatment. Oh, does that sound like tuberculosis treatments? Like how all the doctors sent people to Colorado to live if they had tuberculosis? Interesting. Sure, I'm glad I live in Colorado. Maybe I won't get tuberculosis. Touch wood. Anyway, Reed ran the New York Tribune from Phoenix. Oh my gosh, he was working remotely in 1897. What do you think about that? So then Dr. Rawson sold the house in 1897 and they moved to Los Angeles. A lot happened to them there, but there aren't a lot of records on why they moved there or what they did, but Dr. Rawson did die in LA in 1898 and he had been sick. Yes. So many believe that his death was a suicide because he took out some life insurance policies very shortly before his death. Suspish. Anyway, his wife Flora died a few years later in 1911. Okay. So the Rawson house went through a lot of owners and renters after the Rawsons moved. In the 60s and 70s, it was known as a low-rent flop house. And then in the 80s, it was turned into a museum. And that is when one of the caretakers was shot dead right outside. And for those that have visited or worked there, say the place hasn't been the same since. So the murdered caretaker apparently now haunts the museum, and he likes to appear to guests and employees. So here we go. Let's talk about some of the things that he does. So apparently the caretaker is very mischievous. He locks the doors. He unlocks the doors. He moves stuff around. He shuffles things. Yeah. He also likes to, quote, light the fireplace, even though there's not a fireplace there. Yeah. So some tourists and museum guides alike have seen his shadowy figure, like, darting around the room. Yeah. He's, like, very mischievous, apparently. He plays pranks on some of the employees. Just like moving their keys to a different side of the desk or, you know, turning the toilet paper the other way. All of those fun things that spooky ghosts can do, but they're just playing with you instead. Sometimes the workers have reported that there have been objects and like pieces of the exhibit that have been moved. And, you know, exhibits in museums pretty much have a standard way of being set up, and so the people that set them up can clearly see that something has been moved, and they find themselves being like, okay, did you move that? No. Did you move it? No. And so they feel like it is the spirit of the caretaker and he's just entertaining himself from the afterlife. Speaking of museums, that was the Rossin House of Phoenix, Arizona. Let's go visit tomorrow. Meet you there. So I'm going to talk to you guys really fast about something that happened to me in December. And for those of you that know me, you are fully aware that I am a twin. I am not going to say that because I'm a twin, I have this special thing about me. Ability. Ooh, ability. That's good. Now I sound like an X-Men character. But I feel that in my days, I have seen and felt some things otherworldly. And I embrace it because what else am I going to do? Just being afraid of it doesn't help anything. So, excuse me. I decided in December when I went to see my family in Georgia that I would go to a history museum and an art museum. There are two in town that I've never gone to. I wanted to play tourist. It was a grand time planned for myself. Just a day, you know? So I take the Uber downtown. And I begin at the History Museum. Which, in hindsight, I feel like I should have started at the Art Museum. But this is how my journey began. So I went into the History Museum. I check in with the lady, pay my $5 on my way. I am exploring the downstairs, and in the downstairs area, it tells you that the museum used to be a jail, it used to be a hospital, all of the things that museums used to be, right? Mm-hmm. So when I walk into the main exhibit in the downstairs area, I felt something. And I didn't want to put my walls up because I know that it is a history museum. I know how these things work. Exhibits are haunted. It used to be a hospital. There's definitely some energy in there from the past. So I walk around the exhibit and then I'm like, you know what? Let me just kind of check in with myself. So I went to the bathroom, and in the bathroom, I felt a presence pulling on my pigtails. Not malicious, very playful, almost childlike, definitely shorter than me, and fun. Very fun. And I embraced it. I was like, this is adorable. This reminds me of the preschoolers where I work. Let's roll with it. Deep breaths feel good. I'm like, this little thing is just coming with me. That's fine. It seems harmless. There was an upstairs to the museum. So you could take the elevator or you could take this beautiful staircase. Of course I took the beautiful staircase because I want to get in all the history of this place that I could. When I get to the top of the stairs, I felt the little girl, boy, little child that was attached to me. They stopped three stairs before I got to the top. And in my mind, I just wanted to be like, come with me. Like, had that been a child, like a real child, I would have like grabbed their hand and be like, oh no, it's safe. You can come with me. But the spirit did not want to go upstairs. So I got to the top of the stair. And things felt off. Really off. And so I'm looking around at the exhibits and I see different family names from the town where I grew up. And these things had been donated by these families from their old historical homes and everything like that. And so I knew that there's something attached to a lot of these artifacts. I tried to walk toward the family name that I know best. The park is named after this family. And so I stepped with my right foot. And as soon as I stepped on to the upstairs floor from that step, something tried to push me down the stairs. Me being me, I resisted and put my left foot on the floor from the step. It pushed again. The push was so intense that I almost fell down the stairs. So I immediately took a deep breath, turned around, said, okay, you don't want me here. I'm going to go downstairs. And I went downstairs. You have to pass the gift shop on the way out the front door. And the same lady that I checked in with was there. And I think that she saw my face. And she asked me if I was okay. And I basically told her, this was great. Downstairs exhibits were great. Things look great upstairs, but something doesn't want me to go up there. And her response was, yeah, I've heard that before. So, I'm not going to go there again. I will walk by. I will not say hello to whatever is in there. That moment, just completely terrified me. So that was an encounter I had when I went to visit my family in Georgia. So that's my story. I hope you enjoy all of these ghost stories. I will most definitely be back next weekend to record another episode of season 8. I am so glad that you guys are back. Be sure to listen, subscribe, review, all of those things that you're supposed to do for podcasts, if you want to. I don't feel like you have to. I'm still going to do it, even if it's just me talking to myself and drinking my coffee. So yeah, happy weekend, my friends. The sun is now out. I'm ready to embark on a beautiful day, and I hope you guys are too. Take another swig of that coffee. Tell yourself it's going to be great. And keep listening to all things spooky. You never know what you might learn. You never know what your next travel destination will be. And you'll be like, oh, wow, Missy talked about this on her podcast. And then you can tell me all the spooky stories that it held for you. Have a wonderful day. And I'll see you guys next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.